Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Show's brought to you by our good pals, the law firm Condorian Murrah. They are big DC sports fans. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate admin, they do it all. Their attorneys are always there to take good care of you and to give you a discount while doing it. You've just got to hit them up, kmlawyers.com, and mention this radio show. That's kmlawyers.com. I don't know when we're going to make the big announcement that we're going to be making in the very near future.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that last night, in fact, because one of my friends asked me about it, and I was like, yeah, but we haven't officially said anything.
Right. So I got to talk to a grown-up about that. Darius, you need to talk to a grown-up about that, probably more importantly.
Right.
And then we'll make a show announcement based on the Condori and Murad guys sending us on the road. Where we'll be this year?
It's a cool announcement, and I'd like to make it.
That's really interesting.
Right. I mean, okay, that's it. I was going to say other things.
You won't just keep burying. I mean, you won't just make the announcement.
No, I literally won't.
Drum roll, please.
Don't you dare put me in that spot, Ricky Bobby.
So you guys like, what are you guys doing? I never.
That was the least dramatic announcement ever. No. Hey.
In fact, Kia just sent me a list of the best chocolate chip cookie places in this particular area where
really?
We're going to be going to a game.
In the neighborhood?
Yes.
Huh.
He said, all this talk of cookies, LOL, and then it's a highly opinionated list of this city's best chocolate chip cookies where we're going on the road with the Condorian Murad Law Firm.
What to pack on the trip to blank? Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we've got a big announcement looming on the Grant and Danny radio program. All right, I'm going to give you my top five players that impressed me the most at training camp. And I'm calling training camp over, basically, going into this last preseason game, just because there's no more fan practices. That's what camp is to me. Now it's just like media access at practices, essentially, with a bigger roster as a technicality. But first, Matt's in Richmond. You can listen to us all over the DMV on 106.7. in Richmond, AM 910 FM 105.1, all over the country on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the 106.7 YouTube channel. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Grant. I want to say I love the show. I listen every day.
You're kind.
Appreciate
sir,
you,
for that. Thank you.
I'm 54 years old and been a Redskins fan my entire life. And I'm a huge Jersey guy. So you kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little while ago talking about these hipster Paulson jerseys.
Now, are you a Jersey hipster or you don't care? You just get a jersey of a player you like and don't think twice?
I'm not a hipster, period. But I'm a huge Jersey guy. And all of my jerseys are popular, number one picks, starting quarterbacks, you know, big names in the franchise.
That's what people do. That's what most people do.
Grant can't do that.
Yeah, that's. I'm not yucking your yum. You like beer. I like cocktails.
Here's my issue.
Okay.
When you say hipster to somebody from my generation, here's what we picture. A dude with a man bun and some skinny jeans and some Crocs with socks or Hey Dudes walking around his little bitty dog through the city with the Jeremy Reeves jersey on.
Right. That sounds about right. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. You got it.
The hipster... The phrase is about the jersey, to be clear. I don't need a little, like, pencil mustache, or I don't need to work at a place. I went to this place one time. It's a good phone call, Matt. Thank you. I went to this place in Falls Church where they serve. They're known for serving, I'm pretty sure it's like PB&Js, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it was the most hipster spot ever. And I, like, sit down at the bar, and the guy's like, can I get you a PB&J? And I'm like, I would love that. Can you put bacon on it? And he's like, no, we don't do that. I'm like, okay. He's like, what do you want to drink? I'm like, I'll take a Jack and Coke. He's like, no, we just have beer. It's like, you know, one of those. And right. It's like his jeans are rolled up and he's got a mustache. And it's like, this place is nothing but hipsters. When I'm saying hipster, I'm talking about the jersey itself.
Because the whole point of the hipster is counterculture.
Yes.
In other words, what everyone else likes, the entire existence is to let you know that they don't like that.
You have to have the PB&J because no one has PB&J. So you're doing right. That. Makes you a hipster. You like the band that no one likes.
Soon as they get popular, oh, that's the worst thing that ever happened to you.
You like the movie. It's all of a sudden, 8 billion people have seen the movie. You don't like the movie anymore. You hate the movie. You know what movie I love is the one that no one's watching. So the point of Jersey hipster, Paulson, is that I need to have a jersey that nobody has. I'm not really a hipster in my life. I don't necessarily care to be. But when it comes to sport fandom, I would say in this particular way I am. Maybe not in other ways.
You got to have the unique jersey. And you've talked about this before. It's a long time ago. But you live for that feeling where the one out of every, I'll make up a number, 127 people that see the jersey will go, oh, that's awesome.
Right, because most people won't even know, A, who the player is, or B, like there's not enough ball knowers to really appreciate that it's an awesome jersey. It doesn't happen. Because I'm going for the deep cut. Sounds like the word hipster bothers this guy. Then the deep cut Paulson is what you're looking for, okay?
We shortened it the jersey hipster.
The better I do, the fewer other jerseys there are. My dream is only me and his parents have his jersey.
That's your best case.
Maybe he's got a brother and a wife. If there's a single-digit amount of people on the planet, and this has been since I was a kid. I got a Matt Bowen jersey before that was cool. I have a Mike Barrow jersey in a closet somewhere. He never played it down for Washington. I have a Chris Horton jersey. We could go round and round the horn here on random dudes, so I just thought were pretty cool. I really liked Ndukwe Kalu, you know? So get an Ndukwe Kalu jersey.
Who didn't? The best-case scenario, the fourth-line winger, who's there to just be rough and tumble, and if everything goes great, he might get you 3 goals on a season.
How many people have a Steve Alexi jersey?
The Alexi family.
He used to get into a couple of fights and be a last defenseman in every now and
then.
He's
here to scrap.
A lot of healthy scratches and scraps.
And he was wearing great suits up in the press box. We saw him up there a couple times. You're like, wow, that's a handsome guy.
That's my guy. Are you a fourth liner? Are you a third pair defenseman? Is there a chance you're getting parked because the coach is disappointed in you? I probably have your sweater.
The fourth line winger that gets called up and his jersey is not even available in the team store yet, but you have it somehow.
Do I have an Ovi sweater?
No.
Of course I don't. Do I have
But isn't that your favorite player ever? Oh. Did I just come onto something?
No, I mean,
why'd your voice go up?
Well, because this, I mean, again, hipster Paulson.
Yeah.
I can't say yes. Who's my favorite Capital ever? I've got it. I can't say Ovi.
It's Matt Hendricks, isn't it?
It's probably Matt Hendricks or somebody like Matt Hendricks. I can't say Ovi. Everyone says Ovi.
Does he make your top? It even extends to players you like, not just jerseys?
I guess it does. I mean, if you were to ask me, my childhood team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
Who's my favorite Oriole ever? I'm not going to say Cal Ripken Jr. That's late.
Is Luis Matos or Daniel Cabrera?
It's Daniel Cabrera.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Respectfully, that is dumb.
Yes. I sponsored his baseball reference page for many, many years. But I have to be a hipster on this. Not like, you know, like everyone loves James Wood. That's my favorite National. Everyone loves Juan Soto. That's my favorite National. Everyone loves Max Scherzer. But I have to also acknowledge how much I like this random dude who plays once a week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing that I do in general, not with players, but I have to let everybody know that I know.
I think there's like, some of that.
I insist on it. And I think there's probably some crossover there.
Maybe.
Because you already said it, like the ball knower is going to know.
Yes, but it's not really a like, you know that I know. There's no conversation that happens where I'm about to like show off ball knowledge. It's more about I'm not going to fall in line with all the people that are just doing the easy thing. Everybody wants an eight. God bless you. I'm glad there are eights everywhere. I've bought more eights than the average bear. I got my brother's eights. I got my sister an eight. I got auntie and uncle eights. I bought a bunch of
them. You purchased plenty of eights.
I've never worn an Ovechkin sweater in my life.
You've never worn one?
Not one time. Never.
Even when you're sitting right up there on that glassware.
I don't own one. How could I?
Oh. So you borrowed? You could have borrowed one?
I've probably bought 30 cap sweaters in my life. Think about this. I have an Andrew Kristall Capitals hockey sweater who's never played for them. I don't have an Alex Ovechkin.
At any point, do you just kind of look back at the road behind you and all the flames and go, what have I done?
I have an 18 Chandler Stephenson because he was on the third line that I fell in love with during the cup run.
Didn't he score a goal against the Penguins in the deciding game or in that series?
He probably.
He had a huge goal in that series.
Stanley Cup. Love Chandler Stephenson, who ended up going on to Vegas and having a great career. I have a Chandler Stephenson sweater. I don't have an Ovi sweater. I don't have a Backstrom sweater. I don't have a John Carlson. I don't have a Braden Holtby. And I never would. It's not that I don't like those guys. I love those guys.
But how do you show it? Not with a jersey.
No, I show it in a lot of ways. I mm-hmm. just don't show it with a jersey. Let's go to Chris, who's in Reston. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Both of you are spot on, and that previous caller has got it so wrong. It sounds like he's got a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady jersey in his closet.
Like the Rob Lowe NFL hat? Yeah,
totally.
Exactly. Like, these are not the jerseys that you need to purchase. Like, I've shown up to your guys' events in, like, a Ben Wallace Bullets jersey.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
And by the way, my hair is long and luscious, but that's besides the point.
Well, you couldn't play for Grant? Not in that Ben Wallace with long hair? He'd cut you or trade you.
I'm channeling his energy there. No, but I mean, like, my jerseys are like deep cuts of my home team. But this guy was just sounding like he's going to get the hottest. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've walked by the black 5 jersey at Dick's, and I haven't bought it yet.
No. You can't. You can't get a Jaden Daniels jersey. No chance. Why would I do that?
What do you mean you can't? Sure you could.
I can't.
Well, I mean, you can't wear number 5. No one's saying you can do that.
He's the most popular player on the team. Now, did I buy my kid a Jaden Daniels? I did. Did I buy my brother a Jaden Daniels? Absolutely.
Let's say he's the MVP of the league and wins a Super Bowl here.
More reason that I can't.
You couldn't just to say thank you. You couldn't buy that jersey.
The only way I could wear his jersey is if the opposite happens. Then I like if people are stop wearing his.
He's
jersey.
He's traded before the season starts to the Colts.
I'll buy a Jaden Daniels.
Then you buy
Colts
one
jersey
I
or
mean,
something.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
but like, if do more than 100 people own the jersey?
I'll say yes.
I can't wear it.
Why?
Can't do it.
Why?
As soon as I start to see other people wear my jerseys, they go away.
You get uncomfortable.
I got a Ryan Leonard sweater before he got called up to the Capitals.
I remember it was before
he
got called up.
When he was still at Boston College.
You're telling everybody. I mean, he literally hadn't graduated college yet.
Playing in Boston, I should say. And when he was still playing in college, I get the little kid Leno. And then as soon as he gets called up, every Tom, Dick, and Harry wants to get a Ryan Leonard sweater. You know what I had to do? Fold it up and say you had a good run.
But even though you were first, why do you have to put it away? That's what I'll never get.
Because
you were
now
first.
It's just I'm just one of thousands of people at the game wearing a Ryan Leonard.
But then what happens? Nothing happens, right?
It's not a hipster jersey anymore. He's a top five most popular player on the team.
But what drives that? Like, is there anxiety? Is there discomfort? Is there irritation?
No,
in other words, you go, I have to.
It's
no, you don't.
It's the accomplishment. Mm. Again, you have the thing no one else has. Mike in Alexandria, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, bud?
Would you consider a Craig Anderson Capitals jersey a hipster jersey?
Definitely.
He did win a playoff game for him.
Absolutely. How many people do you think have that jersey?
7.
You win.
Then you win.
In fact, you win harder than I've won in a long time. That's a big time victory. And Craig Anderson was a Capital for like 6 seconds.
I mean, an hour and a half?
During the pandemic season. I don't remember him playing and winning in a playoff game. I'll take his word for
it. He played 4 games for the Caps that year.
Yeah.
I just looked it up.
But you get... I mean, the fact that he has... like, that's an incredible jersey. Now, there's going to be a lot of technicalities. You're going to try to punch a holes through this. I'm telling you, this is an inexact science.
I don't understand.
This is a moving target.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't love that one, though. I'm not, like, going back in time to get obscure jerseys. That could be an avenue that I could
So
open.
You're not going to do the Mike Bibby Wizards jersey because
exactly.
He never played here because that's...
Because it's obscure.
That's trying too hard. Now you're a tryhard.
And I don't want to be a tryhard. So, like, the example I'll give you is I think Chris called in a little bit ago, and he said, you know, he has a Ben Wallace or something like that. Like, you know what would be hilarious is, like, an Ifeanyi Oelete jersey mm-hmm. or, like, a Rock Cartwright jersey. I'm not going back in time now to get those now.
Okay.
For the backpat. I'm mostly doing current player backpats, if that makes sense. If he got a Craig Anderson that season, perfect. You get a Craig Anderson now because he played 4 games and no one knows
it. Or it's some flea market or a yard sale for a buck. You look at that and you're like,
Try hard.
You tried too hard.
Nico,
God, this is tough.
This is
so hard to
again,
find.
It's
the,
a moving runway we're landing this plane on.
The sweet spot is tough.
Nico, how are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
You know it when you see it, Danny.
Yeah.
Good. I got number 33, Sammy Ball. Does that count as a hipster jersey?
It's a good jersey. I would not call it a hipster jersey.
That is not a hipster jersey.
Retired uniform number, one of the greatest players in team history. Unique and definitely something I would rock probably because no one else at the game is going to have a 33 ball. That's pretty damn good. But it's certainly not a hipster jersey. And also, I want to add the rule. We're not going back in time, like to legend status.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, if it's semi-recent, like I haven't worn my Steve Alexi or my Matt Hendricks in a while, but I think those still play. It's in the 2000s. You know, it's fairly recent. It's the modern era, the Rock the Red era. Did they wear the same uniforms? Although for the Commanders, that doesn't count because they change uniforms every 3 seconds. Bernie in Potomac Falls, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well, but I don't think I'm relevant any longer. What I was going to say is my number 8 for the Capitals, it's Larry Murphy. And he's my favorite Capital of all time. I'm of that age. He's in the Hall of Fame and won a bunch of cups. I thought it was a hipster jersey when I got it when Ovechkin came up. And the other one I was going to say that I know when I first got it, it was a hipster jersey. I got a Bias jersey about 20 years ago when
That's
nobody
good.
Was wearing them. Right, and I wore it twice to go see him play at UNC. So it had other meaning. Now they're all of it. They're replicas everywhere. He's kind of had a rebirth. But that was my hipster jersey. Larry Murphy, number 8, when Ovechkin was playing, and Bias.
Great one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It slipped. But yeah, that's a really good one. And by the Bias one is now like mainstream pop culture. You see it all the time. People like wear it on television. Nationally.
Which actually is really cool, by the way, as a quick side note.
Yes.
I love that.
Amazing. Very, very cool. But yeah, I think there was a time where those were hipster jerseys, probably, if you were the only one that had them. Matt, Yorktown, you're on the Fan. What's good?
Hey, guys. Loving the conversation. I wouldn't necessarily call them hipster jerseys because I got them at the time when they were popular, but I have in my closet and still wear them every once in a while a Jake Plummer Arizona State jersey and a Colt Brennan black Hawaii Warriors jersey.
So this is another lane that you're driving down, which is fine. But the throwback to college and or high school of a player. Somebody got a John Wall autograph when I was hanging out at the draft event we were doing at the Anthem. And they were like showing him his high school jersey. And he's like, oh, bring that up here. I'll sign that.
Uh-huh.
And that's a great way, by the way, to get a player to sign an autograph because those are rare.
Yeah.
Different lane, though. You understand?
Like, and it's not for you.
It's not a lane I drive on.
Okay.
But
it's not your Jalen.
This is not me telling anyone else how to jersey. Everyone's got their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to like get into my club of jersey hipster Paulson, you just got turned down with the velvet rope.
It is such an exclusive club. And it's never in one location. It's tough to find.
Okay. So like someone goes, give us examples from the current teams. Easy.
Yeah.
So you want a Nationals jersey hipster option right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if I had to buy a jersey today, I would get a Abimelech Ortiz. So it's an Ortiz 81, probably going to end up changing his number.
Okay.
But I get steamed for Abby, for sure. The other one I would consider today would be a Andrew Alvarez 54. I don't even like Andrew Alvarez. I don't think he's going to be in the big leagues in 2 years. That's a perfect jersey, hipster jersey. The last Nats jersey I bought was a Bo Porter when he was the third base coach.
I want to be so clear about that. When he was the third base coach. And he had been out of baseball as a player for years.
It's actually one of my most embarrassing jersey hipster purchases when you hear it. I spent $300 on it because it was a game-worn Bo Porter jersey.
Yeah, he wore that in a game.
Bo Porter coached third with that jersey, and I bought it at Nats Park as a replica, authentic Bo Porter jersey.
So let's go Nats super quick. Ball or strike? Jersey that you would get or not?
Okay.
All right, ready? So because this might help people. Miles Michaelis.
No,
right? Because some people might think, oh, is that hipster enough?
No, just because I don't want to remember that anymore.
Exactly. Mitch Parker.
That's tough.
Isn't it?
Mitch Parker's the perfect jersey hipster jersey.
This is what I'm saying.
So even though he's not good at all, yes, that's a perfect jersey hipster jersey.
Brad Lord.
Perfect.
Clayton Beter.
The whole team's pretty good because they're very obscure and no one has their jerseys.
Uh-huh.
Clayton Beater's too good, throws 98.
Orlando Ribalta.
Phenomenal.
That feels like your wheelhouse,
that
right?
That is phenomenal. I should get one tonight.
Now, Carson Palmquist. On the 40, man. He's an opener.
Honestly, perfect.
You see? Are people seeing this now?
That's what people need to understand. This is how the game is played.
You roll up with a Tom Cosgrove jersey.
No, Tom Cosgrove is a tryhard. You're trying too hard.
What?
Trying too hard.
That one's not okay, but Ribalta's fine?
Yes. You know it when you see it.
It's impossible.
Brian in Alexandria.
Guys, I love this sort of conversation. I think that having the third line hipster jersey is kind of like when your friend walks up and says, oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan of that band you like. And you got to say, oh, yeah, what are your top three songs? And you got to you got to challenge him to prove that you're a better fan than he is. Like, oh, yeah, see, I've got a number 10 Matt Bradley jersey at home. What do you got?
Let's face it. At its core, that's kind of what this
is. That's what this is.
A little bit of like, oh, you're a Caps fan? Yeah, are you? That's pretty cool. You have an Andrew Christal jersey? You're not that much of a Caps fan, are you? Connor in Arlington, what's good?
Hey, guys. I've only had three jerseys my entire life. Jay Beagle in high school, Matt Hendricks in middle school, and a Jeff Schultz jersey in elementary school.
I've had all three of those jerseys. You might be in the club, Connor. You might be in the club.
Connor, if you had to buy one more jersey right now this minute, you had to spend it, you had to get a jersey, what would you get? Any team?
A Kalon Black San Francisco 49ers jersey because he was at JMU with Cignetti.
This guy gets it. He's in the club.
I feel like he's speaking your language.
Absolutely. If I had to buy a Capitals sweater right now.
Today, right now, you got to go spend money on a Capitals jersey you're getting.
Ethan Frank. An Ethan Frank 53 who probably won't make the team. Or if you want me to get someone who's definitely going to be on the squad, my cap sweater for this year, I like going young typically, but I'm going to go against type here a little bit. I'm going to go Boone Jenner. Me and Mr. and Mrs. Jenner. That's the list. We'll have that sweater for opening night.
So you couldn't do Ilya Protas, for example?
Oh, God, no. I mean, I'm
not talking about Alexi Protas, brother.
I understand who you're talking about.
I know
about.
Who you... Yeah.
If I was getting an Ilya Protas, I would have had to do it a year ago. It's too late now. It's way too late to get an Ilya Protas. There's going to be like 15 of those on opening night.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfathomable.
You know how many Connors are out there trying to impress people with Adelia Protus?
There's so many Connors.
He's already on it.
Eight dudes named Connor went to JMU.
Let's go to Scott in Arlington on the Fan. Scott, what's up?
Hey, how are we doing, guys? Grant, you are so close. I think your hipster club is borderline try-hard. I think you got to go random, like, one-time all-stars, like Christian Guzman or John Lannon, Dan Cordero kind of thing, because then you're going to hit the sweet spot of people who know what they're talking about, and no one else has got a Mark Langston or a Tim Walsh jersey.
I do like the leveling up of he was good but not sustainably.
Yeah.
Like, there was a peak. There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam.
Like, you got a Jose Vidro jersey. It means you were there for Matt Chico and Tim Redding. And you know.
Everybody knows the player.
Yep.
This might actually be the next thing I start doing. I got to give this more thought. But the throwback obscure player. Like, enough with the guy that's on the fringe of the roster right now guy. I'm talking about the 2014 obscure player. That could be my new lane. Let me think about this. G&D on the Fan, Joshua Josephs. He was actually number one on my list of hipster jerseys to purchase for sustainability. They're going to be here for a while that I gave out earlier today. You'll hear the interview I did with him today next on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Exclusively sponsored by the law firm Kondorian Murad, this is Grant and Danny. The stretch run, final half hour or so. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate admin, they do it all.
They are the best. Please, and we beg you, please, when you get in touch with them, schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We're taking you up to about 6:20 or so. The big question is, Saturday's preseason game, will the Commanders be playing their starters? The momentum today was back toward Jaden Daniels taking part in the preseason game, and I say that based on the carded period at practice where they were clearly running a little Detroit scout team with him on the field and with the ones out there. Now, when I say the ones, that's not the ones that you think of, especially on defense. I think if you're Javon Kinlaw and you're healthy, maybe you play in this preseason game, the way Dan Quinn was talking. But if you are Adafe Owe, or you're Kalavon Chaisson, or you're Daron Payne, and you're nursing an injury, you're obviously not going to be out there. Frankie Louvu and Sonny Styles, maybe you get to work together in the second level. In the safety position, Or you got Nick Cross. Maybe he makes his debut because he's completely healthy. But by and large, they got 20 guys that are banged up. So I don't think people, if you're turning on the TV expecting to see all the starters, you're not going to get what you want. But at least based on today, doing some scout periods against what the Lions are going to be showing them, it felt like they were trending toward McLaurin and Diggs and Daniels and some of the guys that are healthy actually getting some reps. Is that a series? Is that a quarter? Is that a half? I guess we have no idea. I would lean a lot closer to a series probably, but after yesterday when they had the big practice and everyone was saying Jaden Daniels wasn't going to go, including me, to see them out there running against a Detroit scout team tells me we're trending toward something on Saturday.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits. No one's saying go a half. No one's saying go three quarters or do something crazy and then, you know, have a full padded practice the next day and do bull in the ring. Nobody's saying anything crazy like that, but there does need to be some, again, I just keep going back to last year, some urgency, and everyone's kind of laughing. They're like, yep, Jaden Daniels didn't throw a single pass in the preseason. Bring on the regular season. Put him in bubble wrap. That's a phrase I'm not really ready to hear for about anybody. I'm talking about Jaden Daniels. I don't think anybody should be in bubble wrap. Last year was so terrible. Please recognize that it's a burning ball of fire behind you that you have to distance yourself from in any means possible.
Preseason, week two, I'm going zero for the Hall of Fame game. Then last week was week one.
You do that college football week zero bit?
Yeah.
I'm with that.
So preseason week two kicks off tonight. Two games, Raiders, Texans, 49ers, Chargers. With that in mind, let's talk football. Some burning questions.
Hello, boys. Aaron Donald and the Rams continue to flirt with the possibility of him coming out of retirement to join Myles Garrett on their defensive line in a year where they already have the best odds to win the Super Bowl. Who's the actual biggest threat to the Rams?
That's a great question. Are we talking NFC, Dad, or are we saying overall?
Let's stick to the NFC side.
I'm going to go with Seattle. I think Seattle, the defending champions.
Still there.
I know how hard it is to repeat. I don't think they're going to. I know how hard it is to get back to the Super Bowl. I don't think they will. Sam Darnold being your quarterback probably makes it even harder, if I'm being honest, because he's in a new offense.
Yeah.
Now you have a coordinator and a play caller and Clint Kubiak who leaves, now the head coach of the Raiders. So Sam's got to kind of reinvent himself a little bit maybe. But I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is a badass. Tobes and I were talking today about watching Hard Knocks episode 3. What a great player he is. They ended up replacing Kenneth Walker and drafted a running back in the late first round. I think they're going to be in a really, really good spot to be good again. So if I'm looking at the NFC, I would say Seattle. I don't love Philly. This is not going to go over very well around these parts. Dallas, Detroit. I think the Rams are the best team. Gap Seattle, gap, and then either the Cowboys or the Lions for me.
I do too. The only argument I would make, I co-sign what you said, by the way, with Seattle. They're the two best teams, maybe the NFL, certainly in the NFC. I will give one nod to Philly because defensively, I don't think they're going to win a shootout against the Rams. I don't think they win a 33-31 game.
That's a great
point. They could bother you enough. They could hit Stafford enough times and grind it out maybe with a low possession type game.
That's probably also the thing that I'm not thinking enough about when I keep going hard about the Eagles, like being okay playing them week one, not thinking they're going to be great, thinking they're closer to 10 wins than 14 wins or whatever, is their defense is so good. Like against this offensive line,
yeah,
the combination of Carter and big boy D tackle
Davis.
Davis, yeah. Carter and Davis on the interior of this, you know, offensive line, Allegretti with like four practices or Julian Good Jones.
Good grief.
That's scary, man. It's just, so they're going to be okay in that matchup, I would say. They should still be favored. But I do think the Eagles' offense is going to be
work in progress for a while.
Up to the run game. If they don't run it well with Saquon Barkley, I think they're going to be in trouble.
Deshaun Watson's going to take the field in front of Cleveland fans for the first time since 2024 when they host Buffalo this Saturday. And he said today that he doesn't care what reaction he gets from fans. What's your confidence level that Watson is actually still a good starting quarterback?
It's very low. It's nice that he doesn't care. I'm glad he won't care because
he's
going to get booed.
Did he say those words?
He did. They asked him.
Stupid thing to say.
They asked him what his what he thought about what the fans would react when he takes the field on Saturday, because it'd be the first time that he's taken the field since he tore his Achilles in front of them.
Yeah.
And he said he doesn't care. He's just worried about being the best player that he can be.
So the second part of that's great. What a dumb comment.
Yeah, because you have to insulate yourself, because the point is you're about to get booed vociferously.
And you're kind of trolling a little bit by saying, like, I'm not worried about the fans. Here's the comment that you should say. Well, look, I've worked really hard to come back. All I want to do is win for this fan base. They're very passionate. I love these fans. You know, hopefully they greet me well. Hoping for the best. Fingers crossed.
Especially when you have a fan base that's rooting for their Pro Bowl quarterback to win that job. You know, their Pro Bowl quarterback, Shedeur Sanders.
Talking about a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Who's their Pro Bowl quarterback? That's a good point, though. I mean,
their incumbent starter is a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Shedeur Sanders is outstanding. Mm-hmm. He certainly wasn't the 37th rated quarterback in the league via a lot of metrics last year.
No, he was not.
So I could see why Browns fans actually would prefer him to start.
My answer, by the way, is zero. Zero confidence in Deshaun Watson. The ship is sailed. Has sailed.
I don't even remember the question.
Is Deshaun Watson going to be ever any good again ever?
No. Next.
Yep.
That's the worst quarterback competition ever.
It's pretty gross.
That's worse than Beck and Grossman. I'm not even joking. Deshaun Watson was the worst quarterback in Browns history statistically the last time we saw him, and that was two Achilles tears ago. Think about that. And he's competing against a guy that was awful last year. Awful. It's a bad competition.
Let's talk about some sophomore quarterbacks. Cam Ward, Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, all entering their second season. Which one has the best chance at success in 2026?
I'm sneaky on this Tyler Shuck bandwagon because I don't think that division's any good. I think the winner is going to win 8 or 9 games maybe, and they have to play each other. I think Tampa's weaker than they've been. I don't trust Atlanta to do anything other than show up for their games with a left-handed quarterback. But I like the skill guys around him. Now, I know Jordan Tyson not being available for extended time is going to hurt, but I like Etienne. I like Olave an awful lot. To me, this is one of those teams that are going to be fine, talking about New Orleans, and I think Shuck could have a nice year.
Shuck will have the best season, probably. He's got the best situation, maybe, offensively. I think Dart is right there with him, in a sense. The guy that's going to make the biggest strides is Cam Ward. I really liked what I saw from his demeanor, his makeup, and just the cloth he's cut from on the quarterback series on Netflix. He is very authentic. That's the word I would use. Like, he is a guy.
Yep.
Every interaction he has is like, this is me, man. This is what you're getting. Only 24 years old. They were terrible last year, 3-14, and he left a lot on the field. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like he had a great season, completed 59% of his passes. But I think they actually did a pretty good job trying to help him. They drafted Carnell Tate in the first round, who's going to be a good player.
He's drawn some pretty good reviews, yeah.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley and Wandell Robinson, who caught 100 balls for the Giants last year in that receiving core as well. I know they lose Chigakonkwo at tight end, but they have three new starters on their offensive line. So you're talking about two new wide receivers, three new starters. They're trying to help him.
Yes.
Pretty good run game with Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears. And the other thing to remember is they made more moves on defense. They added more talent on defense than any team in the league, in both quantity and probably quality as well. And they hired Robert Saleh. So this is like the Jaden Daniels thing we talk about. I think he's going to benefit a lot from a better defense. He's also got new weapons. Ward will make the biggest leap for sure, which is going from a dreadful season to probably like a middle-of-the-pack type year.
Today, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow said he's tired of saying next year and is trying to manifest a Bengals title run. What's the best and worst-case scenario for the Bengals in 2026?
Assuming Joe Burrow's health, let's say, because I think the worst-case scenario is the same thing happens, it seems to always happen,
yep,
which is that he misses time or isn't able to stay on the field. But if he plays in 16, 17 games, the worst-case scenario is he's outstanding, the offense is great, the defense doesn't improve enough. And you know, despite 4,300 yards and 36 touchdowns from Joe Burrow, they miss the playoffs again. I think the best-case scenario is they're playing in the Super Bowl. I really believe that. I mean, you've got a top-four quarterback in football who right now is the most accurate quarterback in the history of the league, 68.5% over the span of 6 seasons, and who has led the league in yards. He's led the league in touchdowns. He's led the league in yards per game. And he's been a comeback player of the year. He's done it all. There's black ink, bold ink all over his PFR page. This is a future Hall of Fame type player. So when you have that kind of player at quarterback with the weapons they do, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe the best wide receiver in football, leading the way, you're going to score points. You're going to put up yards. The whole question is, did they fix the defense? Did they do enough on defense? But if they can get to the playoffs, Burrow can win you playoff games. He's that kind of player. We've seen it. He got to the Super Bowl the time that the defense didn't cost him the playoffs.
So assuming health, kind of to your point. So have that at the background, because you're right. If it's a Burrow health issue, then we're doing a Joe Flacco and the dancing backups thing again. No, thank you. But assuming health, the worst case scenario is their improvements to the defense don't improve it enough. Baltimore's better than I think they're going to be. And the division is really tough, and they're kind of in the hunt for the wild card. Best case scenario, they're a Super Bowl caliber team. I don't think that's hyperbolic to say. I thought I was going to be on an island saying that. I thought I was going to be on Revis Island by myself saying that. But
why would you, though? I mean, again, how many teams can claim Mount Rushmore quarterback in 2026? Five tops.
Right?
The four spots, and maybe there's an argument over who the last guy is or whatever.
Because you haven't had much success here the last 3 years with kind of this recipe. But I'm with you. I mean, it's not an offensive problem. I mean, they've started off really slow for whatever reason on both sides of the ball. But when you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown, who's, I think, slept on, a bit underrated as kind of a do-everything Swiss Army knife back to hang out next to Joe Burrow, who is, as you said, at the top of his game, an MVP candidate. If he's healthy, that is a Super Bowl caliber team. Whether they get there or not, you know, stuff happens, but that's their ceiling.
I think they probably just need to be 20th, 22nd on defense or something to be a playoff team.
Just be okay.
To get to the Super Bowl, they'd actually have to be pretty good on defense, and I don't see that happening.
Right.
I think what's likely is they make the playoffs. They get bounced in the first round or two. They did go trade for Dexter Lawrence. Remember, they gave up a top 10-11 pick to do that.
Yeah.
They also brought in John Allen, the former Commander, by way of Minnesota. Went to the Vikings for a year. Boy Mafe was a pretty good defensive end from the Seahawks. And then in the secondary, they have two new starters, Kyle Duggar from the Steelers, Brian Cook from the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah.
So I'd like him to win the division.
Pittsburgh's not going to. Now, I think Baltimore probably.
Everyone's back on Baltimore. I'm kind of going, in my view, everyone's way too forgiving and kind of looking past what happened last year like it was this weird aberration.
I love Jesse Minter.
I do too. I like him.
I thought that was the best coaching hire of the cycle, maybe, which is funny because I'm not always a big defensive-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's Mike McDonald 2.0. Mike McDonald was a hell of a hire for Seattle, as he's proven. Love watching him on Hard Knocks, by the way. But Lamar should have a big year. Minter gets that defense playing at a high level. Baltimore, there's no reason they shouldn't win the division. But I'm with you. It's those two teams. Nobody else.
Patrick Mahomes pretty much would be the favorite for a comeback player of the year award. Give me your non-Mahomes choice for a potential comeback player of the year award in 2026.
I got to think about some options coming off injuries.
First thing come to mind for me is Malik Nabers. That's he'd have a chance to, right? If he's healthy, but again, absolutely. Who knows if he's going to be or have enough time to do it. Kyler Murray is another name that's on odds boards as someone that kind of was away from things. I don't know, but Mahomes is obviously the clear favorite, right?
Yeah, I'm not too high on Murray there. Nabers would be a good answer. What about like Fred Warner for the San Francisco 49ers, assuming he could actually stay healthy? If he's the best player on an elite defense, assume as, you know, he may have gotten hurt while I was saying this. Because I've been talking for 10 seconds. But if he could play.
If they were practicing
long,
near the substation.
Right. George Kittle, speaking of that substation, another guy, Daniel Jones of the Colts.
Yeah, you know who we overlooked? Jaden Daniels here in Washington, D.C. That wouldn't be a bad.
7 games last year? I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he played a fraction of the. I mean, he played fewer games than Daniel Jones did.
True. Yeah. Jaden Daniels. That's probably the easiest answer. Where is he on odds boards?
Second. Behind Mahomes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that checks out. So Mahomes, Daniels, Murray, Aaron Donald, 8-1 is interesting.
That's an interesting one.
Jones, Nabers. Yeah, I mean, JD5, good one. I guess the thing right in front of you sometimes you don't even notice.
The Jaguars have had Travis Hunter practicing mostly at cornerback so far this training camp. Are they making a mistake by not utilizing his two-way talents?
No, because it's obvious. Like, there's a Shohei thing happening here. There's only one Shohei Ohtani. Everyone always says, like, we found the next Shohei Ohtani.
You didn't.
Bryce Eldridge, who's a really good hitter for the San Francisco Giants, who played at Madison High School. There was a story in him in the Washington Post years ago. It was like America's Ohtani. Everyone who does two things, everyone's like, oh, you should get to do both. And then people can't. Brendan McKay, pitcher from Louisville, there's all these guys. There's been one of those. So this idea that he was going to do both, I always thought was kind of foolish. You could trot him out there as an athlete and let him do some things like Champ Bailey did at the end of a season under Steve Spurrier, or maybe do the Charles Woodson thing where, like, he gets a route or two in the red zone. But if you want him to be exceptional, when you draft a guy in the top five, he needs to focus on one of the two things. And I always thought corner better than receiver. Didn't really matter either way. Which would you prefer? Pick that one and then let him become one of the best at it by focusing on it all the time. So I think it should be like a 90-10 split or 100 to, you know, to an extra five or something where he plays all the snaps at corner and we'll give you 5 to 10 snaps at receiver and try to get the ball in your hands twice. Like, that's what I would be doing.
Yeah, the mistake isn't trying to help him play one better. The mistake was trading up to get him. That's as simple as it is for me. As enticing and intoxicating as the player was, who's more talented than that guy? Just a reminder, the NFL, so bleeping hard. Cleveland, by the way, both teams actually made out fine because they got Travis Hunter. They ended up with Bashaul Tuten, who's probably going to be their starting running back this coming year. But Cleveland ended up with a couple nice pieces as well with an extra second-round pick and last year's first-rounder they used on KC Concepcion, who is all the rave of Browns camp.
Yeah. The package, though, you're right. It's going to age very poorly. If he doesn't become a stellar cornerback, this is going to age very badly. The Jaguars sent the number 5 pick, the number 36 pick just outside of the first round, then a fourth rounder, and a future first, it was this year's first, to move up 3 spots to get him. And they ended up getting like a, you know, fourth round pick and a sixth round pick or something back. But basically you're talking about the 5th, the 36th, a 4th, and a future 1 to go up 3 spots. That's a boatload. So this has to work for them.
Does Jeremiah Love already have the Offensive Rookie of the Year award on his mantle, or can someone surprise enough to surpass him?
Well, right now, he's got a heating pad on his mantle because he's got an injury already. Because didn't he get like 15 carries in their preseason opener?
He got a lot.
I think it was 13 plus.
Yeah, it was a bunch.
Wild. I think, first off, you got to ask yourself, does a quarterback play enough? You have a Heisman Trophy winning 1-1 in Fernando Mendoza. Now, I know that they've told Kirk Cousins and then they've told everybody, you know, you're going to be the starter here. Everybody says that all the time. How many teams at number 1 overall take a QB, especially one that just won the Heisman and a national championship, and that guy doesn't play in the first half of the season? So I would actually take what I think is a really good bet right now, 5-1, 550-1, depending on where you're betting, and I would take Fernando Mendoza because you got the HOV lane as a QB. Now, if Cousins can fend him off for 10 or 12 weeks, you're screwed. But if he's out there in week 4 or 5, which is the norm, he should theoretically run away with this thing. The only other, if it's not Love, it would be what, Carnell Tate or Jadarian Price from Seattle. So I think Love's the odds-on favorite if Mendoza doesn't get the reps. But I think you always bet on the quarterback.
That's you stole the thunder right there at the end of who I was going to think about going with right there. It's if Mendoza gets enough chances, and I don't know how they're going to do it. It's murky to me. And they say one thing, but as you said, it's going to be a matter of time before it happens. Tate's strong rave reviews. The only other name I'd offer is Deshaun Stribling in San Francisco, because everybody that's ever played there has been hurt, and he's not currently hurt, I don't think. But he can catch some passes. He might be pretty good.
In a world where a quarterback didn't win MVP in 2026, somewhere out there in the multiverse, who would be the MVP in 2026? Non-quarterback.
Non-quarterback division. I can only think of quarterbacks winning the thing. All right.
I'll give you one. I mean, again, non-QB, which is not how this works. I would say I'll go Saquon Barkley because I think the only way the Eagles end up in the Super Bowl mix is if he goes ham sandwich, like 1,700, 1,800 yards, something like that. I think it would have to be that caliber of a season. I'll give you one other one. I'll say Puka Nacua from the Rams.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Here's the way I see that.
Right.
Stafford gets hurt. Ty Simpson comes in, has like a really solid rookie year or whatever. And Puka Nacua has like 1,700 receiving yards, and the Rams go 13-4 with a rookie quarterback, and everyone's like, Puka Nacua is the reason that they stayed on the tracks.
The only other This is so far-fetched because, again, the quarterback odds for MVP odds, it's like 1 through 13 quarterbacks, and then it's everybody else, just kind of the nature of the league right now. Let's say Atlanta has a dream season somehow, someway, and the rest of that division stinks. They win 11 games, and maybe they're not 11 win good, but they win a couple by, you know, the skin of their teeth, et cetera. And Bijan Robinson has 2,200 total yards and 18 touchdowns. Maybe that's the scenario. That's the only other name I can think of.
To my knowledge, I mean, looking at the odds in front of me, he has the best odds of any non-quarterback. I think just because he's the best player in the league,
right,
that isn't a quarterback. But that's a bad team with bad quarterbacks.
Yep.
We'll probably have a losing record.
That's my thought.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he's considered the most likely non-QB to win the award. It's just because he's the best player that touches the ball the most. He is awesome to watch, by the way. I love Bijan Robinson.
Why do you like him?
It's fun.
Is it the speed and the agility and the quickness and the power?
The fact that nobody can tackle him.
Yeah, it's hard to tackle him.
Have you had any fantasy drafts yet?
No.
I am the king of never doing fantasy drafts early, which I love. But I always feel like, because until I get into the mode of like studying drafts, I never really have a good feel on like who's going one. I would imagine it's him, right?
Him, like, or Gibbs. Depends on your league.
Him or Jameer?
Yeah.
Is Chase in that discussion with anybody or no?
For 1-1?
Yeah.
No.
In like PPR league?
I've not seen it. I mean, it's not like his ADP is lower than three or four, but yeah, it's those two guys 1-2.
The Grant and Danny Listener League is going to be back. We're working out all the details as we get closer.
Adults are being spoken to about it, yeah.
Draft season. That's one of those things that's outside of our purview, right? We need grown-ups to make grown-up decisions.
And tell us exactly where to be and when to be there.
Thanks to Strobes. I think he was like dog-sitting today. Did I see a picture of him with a dog? Good for him.
Good for you, Strobes.
Yeah.
Still doing the gig while hanging out with the dog.
Dog guy. That's silly. That's double-dipping right there.
How about
Strobes.
That?
He's got a dog, probably some cash coming in there. He's got a job, cash coming in there. And he's like selling baseball cards for another couple bucks. I don't know if he's doing that. I just made that
up. Yeah, I was going to say, doing a lemonade stand.
Triple dip
in the rain.
Did he have a lemonade stand today? In the rain?
In the rain, he did it, yeah.
He was getting four incomes at once.
Right by the Gary.
That guy's rolling in the dough. For Toby and Darius, Grant and Danny saying so long. We are back at 2 o'clock.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Overtime comes your way next. Stretch run of Grant and Danny. We'll take you to 6:30 on the Fan. Remember, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, your next chance to win tickets to the Freedom 250 Grand Prix. Show's brought to you by the law firm Kondorian Murrah.
They're the best. Go and see them if you need help with things like estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, and so much more. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Spider-Man Brand New Day. I've sang the praises of this film on this here radio program. Really, really enjoyed it. I like everything about it. I thought it was the best of the four Holland Spider-Man movies, and it was kind of the perfect. I don't even know if it's going to be the end because there's a lot of things they could pass off without any spoilers.
Yeah, they can keep going if they want.
And Tom Holland has said publicly that he's ready to pass the torch, and he knows how he wants to pass the torch, essentially, in a future movie, potentially. But it has now grossed $2.02 billion worldwide at the box office. In North America, as of last night, I guess, it was sitting domestically at $786.5 million that it's grossed. Internationally, over $1.2 billion. So that gets you to the $2.024 billion total. The $2 billion club. Eighth film in cinema history to pass $2 billion. The second fastest ever, reaching $2 billion globally in 17 days. Second only to Avengers Endgame. Took only 11 days, which is crazy.
That's wild, yeah.
This is Sony's biggest release ever, officially surpassing Spider-Man No Way Home, which was a $1.9 billion venture. You think Tom Holland's doing okay, by the way?
I bet you're doing just fine, thanks.
How about that, dude? So real quick, before we hit the phones and talk Nats, just going through the numbers here on Brand New Day, it's crazy. So I looked up some of these via Rotten Tomatoes. $70 million third weekend it just had. Still made $70 million in the third weekend that it's been out. It's the biggest third weekend ever for a movie. And if you look at and compare it to some of these other films, it has a chance to far surpass any superheroes, Star Wars, any of those movies. Right now it's on a pace in the United States to do better than any of those films ever. They're expecting the numbers to tighten up a little bit, in Star Wars especially. The Force Awakens, to close in on it because kids are going back to school, so the weekday numbers are going to come down now. But The Force Awakens took 23 days to cross $800 million. Another 27...
Domestically, you mean?
Yeah. Domestically, yeah. To get to $900 million. Brand New Day is going to get to $800 million in 19 days. And then the question is, does the pace slow down enough that it doesn't end up being ahead of Force Awakens? But this is arguably the most successful of the superhero movies ever.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Avengers Endgame made just under $2.8 billion. It's second behind Avatar, which still kills me that stupid movie is up
that's
at the top.
Tough.
And also another dumb Avatar, which I'll never see, is third. But my hope is that something knocks that stupid thing off its perch. That's really all I care about. Whatever little engine I got to climb up that mountain, put it up there, man. Beat that dumb thing.
Come
That's all I care about.
Spidey.
Come on, Spidey. You can do it, buddy.
You got this.
Hulk's in it, everybody. Come on. Hulk's doing stuff.
Use those webs. Shoot those webs,
Here
Spidey.
Here we go. Come on, Spidey.
Hulk's just... That's a good Hulk,
that's,
too.
That's Hulk.
That was Hulk.
That was Hulk.
That's what we're looking for.
Not this nerd Hulk thing.
Let's go to the Rude or Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Spencer Nussbaum is with us from The Athletic, covers the Nationals. Spencer, are you a movie guy? Have you seen Spider-Man Brand New Day?
I haven't, but I was really hoping we could continue this conversation. I'm a big Tom Holland guy.
Tom Holland's a stud, isn't he?
Yeah, he rocks. I was workshopping a take the other day that he's kind of our generation's Matt Damon, and then Chalamet is the DiCaprio of the old generation, and it didn't really land, but yeah, I love that guy.
I don't hate that take,
I think it's got legs.
I like that. Here's my issue, though, and it's with Tom Holland, because I like him so much. He is on record, and this could just be words, like you're at a press conference and someone says the thing they're supposed to say, but he is many times over I have seen him say, I'm going to do my thing, make my money, and go, and you'll never hear from me again. Like, he is on record as saying, I want to pack up shop, I want Zendaya, my dog, and playing golf, basically. And, like, he hasn't said when, but he's made it sound like it's fairly imminent, like 10, 12 more years, and then he's going away.
Like, we're not doing a four-decade, five-decade
Tom
Cruise thing.
He's not going to be Denzel in movies. Like, now he turns into somebody's grandpa. Do you buy that? I mean, he basically says that's the way he wants to do it.
No, these guys can never walk away at 30 or 35 or whatever he'll end up, imitating that he'll walk away at. So, yeah, I think he'll be around for a while, but I'm much less well-versed in that take than maybe some of my others.
All right, Spencer Nussbaum, let's get into your Nats takes, because those are very good. So you had a really important story in The Athletic that we went through today, where you caught up with C.J. Abrams' agent as well as Paul Toboney, it sounds like, and And those guys talked about the move to second base. It is not a move, from what I gather, that C.J. Abrams was excited about or took all that well, but he's at least playing ball. So educate us on how this transition's going to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is still TBD, but you hit the biggest bullet points here. Again, there's 100, you know, threads to pull on when we think about the future of this decision. I think the most important thing is to consider is, A, are you keeping C.J. happy? And B, how much do you care about keeping C.J. happy as it portends to a future either extension or trade? Those are all things, again, we can get into. But some of the on-field considerations, whether it's whether he'll play better at second base, I think that's likely, but not a certainty. Whether it'll affect his hitting, I think it could and already has a little bit, but we'll see. Like all these other things are important, but when we think about the big narrative of the Nationals, I think so much of it is about either a trade or an extension in the coming year.
Why'd they do this now?
Yeah, it's a question I've asked and gotten kind of different answers to. I think the clearest answer that I will say that I believe, I think that's the right way to put it, is they believe that you are getting a good sample to maybe clarify what your offseason in 2027 looks like. So, for instance, if you wait until this offseason to say, hey, CJ, you're our second baseman in the future, you don't really get a sample of who he is as a second baseman until, you know, 70 games into next season or whatever it is. By doing this now, you get the sample of, hey, we have these final 25 games or so. And this has not been said explicitly to me, but I think we can read between the lines a little bit here. This is chances for other teams to look at him as a second baseman and see what's possible. And I think beyond that, he's been so poor at shortstop that the timing was never going to be perfect. But I think if you talk to some people around the Nationals, they might tell you that it's an inevitability that he's moving over there. And so I think that's why they did it now.
Spencer Nussbaum of The Athletic discussing C.J. Abrams' move to second on Grant and Danny. Does moving him make it more or less likely that he gets traded in 2027?
Yeah, I still don't have a solid answer here to play out, I guess, both sides of the argument. Again, you could say it's an audition for other teams to see him at second base. On the flip side, there's a big downside that his second base defense could be worse than the, you know, mystery box or the question mark. And it still is a relatively small sample of him there. Maybe you read it the other way and you say, hey, like, we want this to be our guy in 2027. We want this to be our second baseman next to Seaver King or Nassim Nunez or whoever it may be, because that's what the models will tell you is going to win you more games. At the same time, then why do you not do it earlier in the season, right? I still think and have thought since last offseason that this upcoming offseason is the most likely time that Abrams will be traded. I just think you look at the timeline of the Nationals, even though it's been moved up, you think about what he might command in a trade. And I just think if I'm the Nationals, I shouldn't say if I'm the Nationals, but I just think that that's the most likely time it happens. And so for me, that's kind of what I would stick with.
Spencer Nussbaum with us here on G&D. Great story about C.J. Abrams and his move to second base. So tell me where I'm wrong if you think I am. This, to me, like, if somebody's having the kind of season he's having offensively, you put up with kind of whatever you have to defensively, and you don't rock the boat. Now that they're eliminated, and I think internally they realize, you know what, we're not signing this dude. Whether ownership won't pay, whether it's the lockout that's coming, whatever, we're not in the long-term business, and we don't care if we ruffle the feathers right now this minute. And so that, to me, kind of signed, sealed, and delivered the FedEx slip that he's out the door this winter at some point, assuming they get a good enough offer. Where am I wrong there, Spencer, or am I?
Yeah, I want to phrase this carefully because this is not reported per se or not something that I'm going on record of saying, but I've always felt that a C.J. Abrams extension was highly unlikely, and I think you're exactly right that this is just another case or another detail explaining why it is potentially unlikely, right? Again, you think about the Nationals' payroll and that the fact that they haven't paid players handsomely over the years. You think about what CJ and his agency probably feels that he's worth. You think about the fact that that free agent class has a couple strong options, but CJ might be the one or two in that class. Like you think about all those things. He just strikes me as a player that always maybe would be more likely or maybe smarter to test the open market. And yeah, I think this is just kind of another detail that adds on to the list of reasons why he just feels to me like someone who's unlikely to sign an extension here.
Spencer, I can get down with that and be cool with that if Paul Toboni and his entire staff, the Avengers of the analytics guys from all over baseball, if Ani Colombi comes back and closes the computer and says, I don't want to pay CJ Abrams. Cool. But if it's just that they don't want to spend on him because it starts with a 2 or something, that doesn't work for me. And I wonder how big of a factor is the second part. Like, why shouldn't they try to extend CJ Abrams? Now, I'm not saying at $350 million, but 30 homer, 100 RBI, middle infielders don't grow on trees. And it does go back to the very beginning of, I mean, we've been doing this dance since, you know, three writers of at the Post and the Athletic ago. Like, at some point, I'd like to talk to one person that says, the Nats might actually extend this guy. Like, ever? Maybe? I mean, they're not the Athletics. I have no interest in being the Athletics. And I don't want to be the Rays either. I'm happy to be the Rays, but I want to be the Rays with a checkbook.
Correct. You have to spend money at some point. And the case for extending CJ, as you said, is so simple. He is one of those, if not tier 1A, tier 1B, or tier 1C players that you need on a team. And even if you don't think he's your shortstop, fine. Even if you think Eli Willett's coming up is going to be great, fine. I can get on board with that as well. But they have to spend money at some point. And if you're not at least going to make the offer to a guy who, again, has seemed to enjoy playing in D.C., who has improved every season, who has been in that, again, elite class of hitters this season, if that's not someone you're interested in extending, who is, right? And I think ultimately the answer for the Nationals, if it's not CJ, you know, it's probably like a Cade Cavalli or someone on the mound that you really believe in because of how strong your hitting development has been. But you need foundational pieces at a certain point. And so while I would still beat their drum and say that the Nationals trading CJ is not a bad idea per se, I think if you're going to play this out and not extend him, that is a bad idea.
I'm just thinking out loud, and I've given this next to no thought, but I mean, analytic like model organizations don't really pay pitchers or extend pitchers to an extent, do they? I guess the Rays did like a 2-year deal with Rasmussen, but I'm trying to remember if that was like based on arbitration or whatever. That would seem weird to me for them to pay an arm.
No, it is weird. I think that the reason why I bring it up is because they just feel so sound on the position player front that if you give Cade Cavalli another 2 years after arb, then you're and you believe that he's a postseason arm, you lock that up. Again, the reason teams don't do it is obvious. Those guys get injured. It's a big risk. But with the lack of success that the Nationals have had on the mound, that's at least naturally where my mind might initially go. But you're exactly right that like Abrams is a more of a sure thing or more of a sure bet that teams that are analytically driven usually take.
Spencer, this I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask this question, but this is generally a compliment to them, but it's just something I've noticed, and you're around the club more than I am. They seem to have been able to, this is Butera and Toboni and everybody under the sun, names that we don't know, they've been able to deliver some pretty bad news to guys and not have it ruffle feathers too often, right? Whether it's sending Cruz down for an extended time, you know, unceremoniously telling Brady House you got to go down and work on something, or, you know, guys getting called up to get kicked in for multiple innings and they're right back down on the farm. They've been able to do that and kind of keep the train on the tracks here. I know they've swooned here a little bit lately, but still way more competitive than we thought they'd be. They've kind of shown a way to be able to do that. This is probably the biggest withdrawal in that kind of space, if that makes any sense, telling CJ things he doesn't really want to hear probably. But I've kind of been amazed that they've been able to walk that line for long enough. Tag, you're it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what makes the timing of this all surprising, is from a communication standpoint, it's far from ideal. But I mean, this is all stuff that I'm planning on writing before the season is over, right? Where I'm hearing from players who have been in other orgs, like how I was working out next to Paul in the weight room. Like, I've never had a GM, you know, be there and, you know, shoot the, you know what, with me. I've never had a, you know, manager send me down and right when I come back up, you know, instill the sort of confidence in me that I've had. All these sorts of things where it's like, there is a level of authenticity to it where that group can explain to the players, hey, we're not going to BS you. You know that we're doing this because we think it's in the best interest of the organization. And also, we're going to do everything that we can to get the very best out of you. Like, you look at a Dylan Cruz, even though he hasn't thrived up here, he went down to AAA and the, you know, hitting coaches that worked down there with him, he fell in love with them. And you think about some of the pitchers that have come here and struggled. Simon Matthews has pumped all the confidence in the world into them. And so, you know, do I have a solid take here about whether the Nationals are like the best communicating org in baseball? Like, I don't know that I can go out and say that. But the strides that they've made on that front compared to what I at least had kind of seen and heard over the previous 2 years is more drastic than I can kind of even cover here.
Check out Spencer's piece. It's an exclusive in The Athletic. CJ Abrams not thrilled with change, agent says, but focus remains on Nationals is the headline. And you can go read the piece now. Spencer, before I let you go, Seaver King's been killing the ball. He's one of the better hitters in the minors since the All-Star break. I want to say he's over 400 in his last 10. They're the opposite of whatever Mike Rizzo was when it comes to calling up prospects. Like, Yo-Yo Morales, you go hit 40 home runs, young man, but you ain't getting to the big leagues. You know what I'm saying? And I know he obviously hasn't been completely healthy in the second half, but I think I was reading one of your pieces recently, and the idea was, like, if he comes up in September, like, they still think he has work to do. What's he got to do? I mean, especially if shortstop's open. Nassim Nunez is a plus defender, and that's great, but there's zero reason in September not to have Seaver King playing short. There's no way that wouldn't happen, right?
Again, I think it's most likely that he'll be up in September. The argument against it, if I'm forced to give it, is the chase rate, while improved, is still high and something that he's shown that he can improve over time, which could help in AAA. And you think about the 40-man considerations heading into the lockout and what that would mean for having him play in minor league games this year, being in contact with the org during the offseason. I guess that'd be the other element to think of if we don't see him up here. But to me, as you explicitly laid out, he just feels like the Nationals shortstop in September. But again, that's not reported. That's just kind of my speculation.
Spencer, great stuff, my friend. Really good work on that article as well, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
He does a great job. Absolutely crushing it on the Nats beat. Spencer Nussbaum, go check him out in The Athletic. All right, want to hit some Commanders headlines on the way out here from today. Dan Quinn was on with the Junkies this morning, and he talked about the kicking battle being won by Drew Stevens. We know that they've now cut Jake Moody. Drew Stevens, the rookie from Iowa, got the job, and Quinn told the Junkies why they made the decision this early.
And he earned it. Uh-huh. So I would say you have a point.
So
of
he
what
earned
you're
it
saying.
Out here. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they've been going since, you know, the spring and then through the first couple weeks of camp. But we right. knew it had to go through the game process to gear, because Jake also, you know, had a good camp in terms of accuracy. But we felt, okay, this is the space that it's time. Drew earned that. And now over the next couple weeks, he can get all the kicks, all the plays, all the reps. And so it was twofold. He had earned it, but he had to go through that process to get there.
You and I were super impressed with the young running backs. Mm-hmm. Robert Henry Jr., 75 yards and a touchdown. Katron Allen, 20-plus carries, 80-plus yards, and a score. The kids looked good. This was Dan Quinn on the two first-year RBs from their preseason debut against Miami.
Yeah, I like a number of things. Like, they're different in terms of play style, but they're both eager in terms of how they want to do things. You know, can they make an impact on special teams? So seeing Rob on the return side, seeing Katron as a lead blocker in the kickoff return side, I thought they've made an improvement in pass protection. So that's the stuff. And although Katron had a drop, I thought in the game, like, he's got really good hands. He's demonstrated both of them can catch. And so that's a big deal, because now they're well-rounded guys. They've got pass protection down. They both got good hands coming out of the backfield. And so there's more reps and get them a chance to go do it.
Seems different hearing him say that than how they talked about Bill's pass pro last year, where they kept talking about him needing to work on it.
Uh-huh.
Very complimentary in that regard.
Yeah, I wonder what they thought about Alan Tanz real quick, because he did drop that very catchable ball, and that was like, okay, that was your one chance. That looks bad, but they've got a bigger sample. That was encouraging for him to hear.
We started the show talking about how they weren't in pads today after 3 days off since the game, which was really surprising. So it'll only be one padded practice this week, meaning maybe they play starters against the Lions. And you were kind of saying you wanted more urgency and the camp to look a little bit different. You actually commented on that with the Junkies, where J.P. Flame brought up that last year, in hindsight, Quinn didn't think they did enough at training camp. I'm paraphrasing. Thought it needed to look different. They asked him if he feels they've accomplished that goal in camp this year.
Yeah, and I think you'll feel that today in terms of what we were looking to do. I thought going, you know, after the offseason, could they come back into, like, in training camp, like, in crazy shape where we didn't have to play our way into shape? That was going to be like, and so seeing the guys come back, I felt that, which allowed these systems to get underway. The practices have been the most competitive we've had in our, you know, 3 years here together. There's a lot of position battles, but just, you know, the elevated competition, they're in shape, some depth at a lot of positions makes, like, every rep, man, it's on.
So I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or a jerk, I promise. When he says, I think you'll feel that today, I didn't feel that at all today. Like, today was one of their lighter practices where they didn't do a ton and they weren't wearing pads. So it's almost like Dan Quinn didn't talk to Dan Quinn before he game planned today. He's like, you're going to feel that with all the stuff we do today. And then they did like a punting period and a kicking period and jogged through the first half of the practice, it felt like. So I don't feel that about the whole camp. He could have said that before the joint practice against the Dolphins, or there were a lot of days even right, when it was just themselves practicing where he could say, you're going to feel that. And I'd be like, yeah, this was a hell of a practice. Today was not one of those days, though. So the way he was talking about today and what actually happened were not the same to me. And I don't know if that was indicative of just the weather or what, but I don't know. To me, it was one of the most laid-back days I've been out there for the entire camp.
Right. Are you hanging your head on that one? Like, maybe you planned on going harder, but then somebody slipped and you go, okay, we got to take it easy. I don't know what I don't know, but it's just, I don't, so many days off, so many non-going hard times. I can't get over it. I mean, this to me is the story once again. If a guy plays a quarter, two possessions, whatever, it's the totality. I understand where the league is going. I also understand that not everybody finished 5-12 doing something that only one other team this millennium has done, losing four games by an average of 25 points per week. Like, I want urgency. Last year, I didn't get it. I didn't get urgency. I got Joe Witt. He was down here. Now he's going to sit up there. That's what I got while they were losing nine straight games and getting embarrassed on a weekly basis. Where is the fire under your butt to make sure that it never happens again?
Toby's got overtime coming your way next right here on The Fan. He's an all-timer. Make sure you're listening to Tobe Vertime. For Darris and Toby and Strobes, Grant and Danny saying so long. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.